We would like to welcome you back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I am Darren Howlett. Thank you for joining us on our ongoing culinary exploration of the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island.
We are here to interview the people that make our food, showcase their talent, skill, and passion.
Our goal is to talk to as many farmers, chefs, and food producers to tell their story.
And have a little fun. On this episode of the Edible Valley, myself and Darren are going to be sitting down and doing a little catching up on going over a few things that have happened over the last little while and talk about some upcoming events and some things that are going on in the valley.
Yeah, there's been some changes lately or since we last sat down and talked. I think last time was when we first got into the studio here. And that was almost 6 months ago, 5 months ago now.
5 months ago, yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't had a chance to sit down and bring everybody up to speed on what's been going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, we've been keeping pretty busy. We've done a few video shoots.
Yeah, hopefully. Can't wait to release those. Those were a hoot. They're a riot to film.
Yeah, it's pretty. They're just a little bit more editing to go and put some recipes on and stuff like that. And should be some interesting. We got to use some really fun ingredients and some local stuff that I picked up at the market.
Yeah,
it was great. Saturday. So and then we filmed on a Monday. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also, we've been I've been doing Dine Around, which is
right.
Over.
Whew. Yeah, that was a month long of really testing your skill there.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, a lot of restaurants, we all had the choices of a $17, $27 or a $37 menu.
Right.
I went with the $27 menu to sort of keep it.
The three-course $27 menu. I mean, all the feedback I heard was everybody thought that was a fantastic deal.
Yeah, when we tried to challenge ourselves, we took our fresh eat. I mean, a lot of places kept a set menu for the entire month. We challenged ourselves.
No, that's
not my way. So we did. We just took our fresh sheet and just made it a constantly changing one, and gave people the option to come in and try out some different foods and some stuff that we'd like to feature.
Oh yeah, there are some fantastic things on the menu. I was really impressed with quite a few of them. You got quite a few pictures up on Facebook, what I recall.
Did you can actually check it out on the Atlas website,
right?
Or the Facebook page on Atlas, and there's a bunch of photos of some of the food that we were playing around with.
Yeah, and I really liked it. I mean, everything, it was really easy to get people on board. I mean, three courses, local ingredients, as local as possible, and put together as inexpensively as possible, really passing the value along to the customer. I think it's a great event. It really showcases the valley, and that's what we're here for, right?
Well, and it's nice for the restaurants that were involved to sort of come together and try and promote our whole industry as one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a slow time of year for most of us. We were looking at the ski hill, didn't get a good dump of snow yet.
No, I know, that really hurt the valley.
It was really scary there for a bit because there was no tourism coming in. So
right.
And a lot of restaurants count on that. So it was fun to have that event and sort of get some of the locals out. And
I know, I couldn't believe what kind of turnout we had. We had a full restaurant almost every night.
And it's great showcase for other restaurants too. Yeah. I mean, places that you wouldn't maybe normally go to. You're like, you see their menu, you're like, oh, it looks really interesting. And three courses, let's see what they can do there.
I think it was great too, getting to see all the chefs really show off a bit of skill there. Get to show off what they might not normally be able to do within the confines of a regular menu or even the regular specials. Just focusing again on what's around, what's local. I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, it's a great challenge for all of us. So
yeah, and that's so. When does that come back? That's we ended that what, mid March?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's not going to start again until next February. For those of you that missed it, you got to wait almost a whole other year.
A whole other year, but there's lots of other stuff happening. So
yeah.
we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. What's coming up next, or what's coming up soon in the valley for food?
There's lots of little things coming up. I mean, I've been sitting down with the Chefs Association, and we sort of always have our foot into stuff that are going on, you know, around the town and stuff like that. I know we just got involved with the farmers market. Not that we haven't been uninvolved with the farmers market.
Right. But now you've got like an official pairing of the Chefs Association is officially sort of represented there now.
Yeah, well, what we want to do is the farmers market wants to do a food demo day. So on the third Saturday, they want to start doing a demonstration there so people can come in and sample some food, and the Chefs Association is going to send some of our chefs out there to sit down and give them a chance to play with some ingredients.
Oh, wow.
From the market. So I think the first one will be coming up in April here on the third Saturday.
Right.
Which is soon.
Yeah, that's
and it'll be
week.
Early yeah. greens.
Oh, nice.
So
then I take it that'll be the third Saturday every month?
That's the goal.
And you'll have a different chef working with local ingredients right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And they have a bit of a theme. And yeah. I know they've worked it out.
Oh, awesome.
And so they'll just be what's in season, what's coming up. And so people can go in there, sample the food.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go to the farmer and say, oh, I just tried this over here. And
right.
I'd like to buy a bunch of that and take it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think that's great.
Yeah, and I know there is also going to be this summer, the chef's day will be there.
Right.
So we'll have all the chefs come in and we take a wheelbarrow. Actually, we take two wheelbarrows and we go in opposite directions and we just collect as much food as we possibly can. We meet back in the center and we start cooking.
Really?
And it's just...
That sounds like a blast.
It's craziness. And it's great because you have all these different ideas and it's like a black box competition.
Yeah. Just
everyone throws a bunch of stuff in a box and then they open it up and it's like, okay, now make three courses.
Wow.
Except for this is make three courses and there's lots of people. So
right,
just
yeah.
keep making stuff. So it's nice little bite-sized samples and it's a fun thing for...
That sounds fantastic.
Not only the chefs, but the...
Oh, I definitely want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
Even if it's just as a spectator.
For sure. I know tonight, the other thing that is interesting is the Chefs Association. We're meeting up here in Cumberland
right.
at Carmi's. And we've got Dr. Shannon Beach, who is a research scientist with the BC government and a professor at UBC. And she's doing a presentation on truffles.
Really?
The difference between cultivated and our local wild truffles, which apparently we have here.
Right, yes.
Something I've never sampled.
Yeah, nor have I. I've heard stories too, the elusive stories. I know a couple of friends that are pretty hardcore mushroom pickers and they've told me stories that there are truffles, but I've yet to see one.
Yes. So anyway, she's coming up to talk to us tonight, so hopefully I'll have some more information, and so maybe on our next episode I can talk a little bit. And if it works out, maybe we can get her into the studio just to talk a little bit about truffles, because I think that would be a really interesting thing. And it's
that would.
The high end of food.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those. It's up there with all the other ridiculously expensive and impossible to attain foods.
Yes.
And yeah.
Like caviar.
Yeah.
Foie gras.
Yeah.
All those fun things that chefs just love to get their hands on and play
right.
with. So that's one of the events.
Yeah, what else do we have going on?
You know what? The one thing I'd like to talk about, and it's kind of, it's exciting me because I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Saputo.
Right.
Which is the big dairy company.
Right.
You
yeah.
know,
nationwide.
Dairyland,
yeah.
Nationwide. They are doing a junior exchange. They have paired with the Canadian Culinary Federation.
Right.
And the new president, when he got involved, decided that he wanted to do this junior exchange where we take chefs from across Canada and send them to a different region.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, Vancouver Island has been picked as the destination.
So everybody that's been picked for this Canada-wide selection, they're all coming, converging into the valley to do...
They're coming to Vancouver Island, and we've split it between our North Island and South Island.
Right.
So they're going to spend a few days down in Victoria.
Right.
So they're going to get to... There's a bit of a criteria that they have to work in certain areas and get visibility of what happens in different restaurants and
right.
different cooking environments. So they're going to come up, they're going to stay in Victoria, they're going to work at a couple of the restaurants down there and hotels and get some experience there. And then they're coming up to visit us here on the North Island, and we're going to give them some tours of some of our, what we have up here.
Right.
So they're going to get to see...
How do you limit it? You said a couple of days. How do you limit it down to just a few?
What's that?
I mean,
well,
so
it's going to be a rush tour.
Yeah.
So they want to take them to some vineyards. They want to take
right.
them and show them just what we have to offer here. Take them out to some of the islands and check out some of the resorts out there.
Wow.
Get a chance to sort of get the hands-on experience with the food and the culture up here.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it's a competition too. So they have okay. a little bit of a... they have to write in. I think there's a video shoot that they have to do. And
oh, really?
Say why they want to go on this adventure. But it'll be... I believe it's four junior chefs from across Canada. So these are people that are just getting into the industry,
right.
just learning how to cook. They're in school or they're signed up on apprentices. So they have to get permission from their boss to be able to go for the time.
Wow.
And so they're going to fly them out here, and it's sort of an all expense paid thing, but it's a great way to showcase Canada and
yeah.
our culinary experiences you can have here, and to teach the techniques that are being learned out here across Canada, or spread them across Canada.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Because we live in a big country.
Yeah. Yeah, there are definitely certain styles and certain techniques that are developed regionally that, you get a chance to showcase them, and they can take them back east or back into middle Canada, wherever they're from.
And even just learning different products, you know, like to be able to come out here and understand what salmon is.
Right.
There isn't just one type of salmon. There's a bunch, and they all cook differently.
Right.
Or shellfish and you know, the whole, this is an oyster.
Yeah.
Well, oysters have so many different flavors depending on where they're grown, how they're grown. It's just, there's a huge spectrum out there.
So. Absolutely.
So that's something I'm really excited about.
And yeah, that is exciting.
Yeah. So right now they're just looking for transportation and looking for accommodation for these people. So
okay,
it's a tight budget.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can imagine a lot of it's being spent on the airfare and just getting them all around from point A to point B. I mean, you're talking about checking out some of the islands, like the ferries, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of expense involved already.
Exactly. So
yeah,
we're trying to get that and get as much volunteer and people to donate their time and energy into that.
So. Sure, yeah. And if any of the listeners out there are able to help in any way or want to get involved, we'll have something up on the website or at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, the best way is to check out the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association website.
Right.
And there's a link to an email there.
Right.
And you can get North Vancouver Island Chefs Association at...
Perfect. Whatever it may be.
off the top of my head right now.
That's all right.
But talking about junior chefs, I mean, the other thing too is April 13th coming up this weekend. There's a junior chef competition in Victoria at Camosun College.
Oh yeah.
Which is a great little competition. Students there do a 3-course dinner and they have to do 4 plates. And basically there's tables of 10, I believe. So one plate goes to each of the tables.
Oh wow.
And so everyone gets to sort of sample the food and it's judged on. And then the chef who wins that goes on to the next, goes on to BC. So that'll
wow.
be, that's kind of an interesting little competition, and it's great for upcoming chefs to sort of challenge themselves and get used to it. It's a whole different world, cooking competition style.
I can imagine.
You know, you're checked on, you know, how much the food, the presentation, how you keep your station clean while you're working. It's not just about the dish that goes up there.
Right. It's like, all about your ability to be a chef and all that entails, not just the cooking.
Yeah. I know they even walk by at the end and they look in your garbage.
Wow.
And they see how much waste is in there and you get marked on that.
Wow.
So there's a lot. You can make the best food in the world, the best flavors, but if they're...
That only counts for a calf.
Yeah. But if you're taking the center of a beef tenderloin and just that perfect piece of meat in the center and throwing the rest away, that's not going to cut it. So.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's one interesting thing that's coming up. But let's go back to the Comox Valley.
Yeah, let's get back to the valley.
Shellfish Festival.
I know, the Shellfish Festival. There's a lot going on about it. I mean, I've heard so many conflicting stories. Shellfish Festival has been canceled. Shellfish Festival is back on. And I think it has a lot to do with, because of the confusion that is, has a lot to do with the fact that it's all new people behind it.
It's a little bit new people. The big thing is that the Shellfish Association is taking a little bit step back this year.
Right.
They've run the whole event for the last few years.
Right.
And so they've decided that their main primary focus is just going to be on the gala dinner.
Right.
And that's their fun bit. And so they've invited a group of chefs up.
Right. Right.
You've
got
a list. Why don't you go over?
Yeah, sure. I've got a list of them. We've got Peter Zambri from Zambri's in Victoria. We've got Quang Dang from the West Restaurant in Vancouver. Kathy Jarrett from Tria's Fine Catering.
Which
from
is here a little bit of local talent.
Yeah,
there.
From here in Courtney. Maddie Cam from Shelter Point Restaurant in Tofino. We have Ian Gord, Hotel Grand Pacific in Victoria. And David Sider from Wicked Inish in Tofino. You know, I've got to say, there's only one valley name in there, just looking over those names. That's a big departure from the last few years.
Yeah, it's in my point of view, it's a little disappointing. You know, I got to do last year, which was a lot of fun, and it's nice to be able to meet with those people and, yeah. and cook with them because it's...
Well, you were part of the early development of this. I mean, you sort of came into it as it had started, but you came into it as one of the people that got to make this grow.
I started from the beginning.
So. Yeah, and it was supposed to be this local spotlight on the valley. It's pretty much what we're doing here with the podcast.
Yeah.
Shine a little spotlight on the valley and... not much spotlight on the valley there.
It's a little weak this year. Yeah. I think it's a little bit with just the change of things.
Right.
I'm trying to be positive about this.
Yes. Yes.
I know I wasn't going to do it again this year.
Right.
So yeah. I can't be that disappointed. I'm right. glad they've yeah. got a full crew. There will be an opportunity for a lot of junior chefs because I know they definitely asked the Chefs Association for help. So
a lot
of junior chefs get a chance to go work with these guys and
oh, the local ones. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. So then there is going to be a little more local blood in there.
And a lot of it has changed because, they lost the mats.
Right.
So we had, Matt Wright and Matt McDonald. So Matt McDonald was the chef who organized all the other chefs and made sure that they had their equipment and got them all organized. And he's no longer he's moved out to a camp in Alberta, I believe.
Right.
And then we have, Matt Wright who organized the whole thing. And it was always his crazy ideas of doing all this fun stuff over the time.
Right.
And he was the one who really pushed for a lot of it. And he was the one who actually started bringing in a lot of these chefs from out of town to come in and work with our local people. So,
yeah. No, I've met him a few times. He's a great guy. We should really try to get him on the show.
We did.
Yeah. Back before I was part of the show, though.
Yeah. No, we had a lot of fun with him. So that's what's happening with the gala dinner at the Shellfish Association.
So how does that rest of the Shellfish Festival play out then? If that's just the gala dinner, then what is the rest of the event?
Well, the rest of the event is they're going to do it'll be June 13th to the 23rd.
Right.
And I'm sort of speculating on a lot of this stuff.
Okay.
Because a lot of it hasn't been confirmed, and I've only talked to a few people about it.
Right.
And a lot of it's secondhand information. So I'll give as much as I can.
Right.
I know for sure that a lot of local restaurants will be featuring shellfish on their menus.
Right.
So we've done both. I'm going to be both my lunch and dinner menu.
Oh, really?
We'll be doing... probably doing like an oyster burger or, you know, some lunchy sort of shellfish.
No, that's good. I mean, I know in the past years it's been mostly focused on a dinner special, but we're going to do shellfish day and night.
Yeah. I thought that would be a lot more fun, you know, and then because we do get a big lunch crew and I know a lot of restaurants get a lot of people out for lunch. So we thought it'd be a great little opportunity to have that shellfish out there and showcase a lot of what's out there. And then at night, we're going to be doing the same thing. We'll have clams and mussels and whatever I can get my hands on, you know.
Yeah. Maybe no, those, I know that the Bain Sound clams that you just had, that we just did this, what was that, a couple of days ago?
Yes.
Those things went like crazy. Everybody was just hungry for clams.
Yeah, I haven't done clams for a while.
I know.
And I'm getting beautiful mussels right now.
Yeah.
The only drawback is Shellfish Festival, of course, usually coincides with Red Tide.
Yes. I know. It's amazing how they've put that together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the only time of the year where nothing's really happening.
Yeah.
And so they kind of thought this would be a perfect opportunity to have this event. And So it is a bit trying, but there is still a little bit available. So we'll be doing our best to come up with as many shellfish ideas as possible.
Right.
The other thing is that they're talking about, they're moving from, used to be down in the Comox Bay Harbor there.
Right.
They're going to move over to the Philburg.
Oh, really?
Have the Saturday event there.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what's been decided or how that's going to run, but, I mean, last year they had demonstrations. I haven't heard anything about that yet.
Yeah.
But I know there would be definitely a bunch of crews down there cooking different samples and different flavors.
Right.
I know the Chefs Association's always done rockfish and halibut or groundfish and done burgers down there. So
I'm trying to imagine that on the Philbrick Fairgrounds or the Philbrick Grounds rather, not Fairgrounds. Just I've been to the last few Shellfish Festivals and those were just pandemonium. There were so many people.
Yeah. I mean,
are they really going to get that much more space or are they just going to space it out maybe?
I think it's just keeping it all contained because they have the dinner that night and then everything's going to stay there. It was a lot of work to break everything down
that makes sense.
The gala dinner and then ship it over there and set everyone up. So now everyone's going to be contained in one spot. I think they're still going to do the competitions. Like there's the chowder competition and the oyster shucking competition. Yeah. So those are cool events and that brings a lot of people and it's amazing that little group of people out there that are compete on how fast they can open up mussels.
I know.
Or, sorry.
Yeah, the oysters. Yeah. Chef Aaron from Avenue One, didn't he last year?
That was Devin.
That was Devin.
Yes, he came in second. So
right.
He's won 1 year, and he always goes in every year. And to me, it's amazing just to watch him. I've done a couple events with him.
Right.
And yeah, he's like opening six or seven oysters to my one. And they're clean, and it's just ready to go. And it's embarrassing. I just walk away and say, carry on.
Yeah. All right. So, that's the Shellfish Festival. What else? Do we have any other events coming up we need to talk about?
Well, you know what? I'm actually excited. I've got an event coming up.
You do.
I could talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
I've been invited up to North Island College to their Education and Industry Expo.
Nice.
Yeah. So I get a chance to, I'm sitting on a panel and we're going to be talking to students about trades. And trades and technology. And so I get to talk to him about the culinary arts.
Nice.
And sort of, talk about my favorite thing, me. And just talk about how I got to where I am.
Right.
And why I do what I do.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it's actually been fun because even just giving me a chance just to sit down and think about why I do what I do.
Right. And usually you seem to speak in a forum of others that are doing the same thing as you, food.
Yeah.
But you're the only person coming from a food trade, is that?
I'm the one coming from a food trade, wow. So I got to tell them a little bit of...
Yeah. Convince them why to go your way than the other guy's way.
Yeah.
Amazing our food industry is here.
Yeah. And I mean, there's lots of opportunities. I think it's just a not narrow mind. You don't have to go and work in a restaurant. You can work anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I've definitely learned in the last few years. I always thought that food equated restaurants when I was growing up. If you wanted to pursue food, you had to pursue restaurants. And I think my brother was the biggest shining example of somebody that's incredibly passionate and skilled in food who has no interest in working in a restaurant. And he's tried out everything. And it was what really opened my eyes to the fact that you can go into food producing, you can go into catering, you can go into, anywhere from farming to cheese making to wine making to, there's just an endless sort of avenue of professions that you can go that are food related that all have that same sort of backbone. Yeah. You start in the food industry and you can branch out into any which way you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This whole title of chef is a pretty broad one.
It is, yeah.
And the ability to go out and cook and from doing, industry cooking.
Yeah.
You know, where you're in hospitals or whatever, it's some good money and you're providing a service to someone. At the end of the day, everyone needs to eat.
So. Everybody is, and they should be eating well. And that's, I think, why we're here is we all have to eat, but why not eat well? Why not eat local and healthy and have somebody with some passion behind it cooking it for you?
Take advantage of what's around you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that sort of wraps up what we were wanting to talk about today, or am I missing something?
I think we've gone through everything.
Yeah.
I think, there's still lots of other events coming up.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah. We always want to talk about them, but the shows always run a little long. So maybe we need to do this, bring this in a little more often, a little more frequently, the touching in about what's going on in the Valley.
Yeah. And it'd be great if anyone has some event or something they'd like to talk about or tell us about, to send us an email.
Yeah.
Edible Valley@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this show is your show. So if you have anything you want to hear about or anything you can offer, please do contact us.
And we're always looking for donations.
Yes, donations.
Or a sponsor.
Well, we have a lot that we want to accomplish. We have the show, the actual filmed portion of this show, the cooking portion, it's unfortunately quite difficult to get off the ground without some outside funding. So if anybody's interested, we would love to talk to somebody about working in collaboration, getting something going where we can help them if they can help us, and we can all benefit from it.
Well, that's a goal, to benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we sign off, and not to leave this on too sour of a note, unfortunately, someone in our community, a really important person in our community, Chef Paul DeRitter, a friend of all of ours, recently lost his son, and we just wanted to pass our condolences along and say how sorry we are and that we're all behind you. And hopefully, you know, we can all do something to help ease the pain a little bit and make things better for you.
For sure.
Yeah.
You've been listening to us at the Studio Live in Cumberland, BC. We graciously accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website at ediblevalley.com.
And like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your questions and comments at ediblevalley@gmail.com. We would love to hear your suggestions for guests or what you'd like to hear on our show. And don't hesitate to send John your cooking questions or pick our brains for local food information. Remember,
keep it local.